House will come back to order. We're currently in the business of third reading of bills and final passage. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 1. Less, of course. Representative Robinson would like to say something.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the thousands of people of Wyoming who have expressed the bill of rights sales tax taken off food, I respectfully move that pursuant to Bill 484, that House Bill 117 be recalled from the Revenue Committee.
I received that motion. I'm going to just put it on hold until we get through a third reading so that we can get these votes out of the way and then we'll deal with it. All right. You heard that motion. We'll be dealing with that at a later time, but I want to get these bills off of third reading and on the way. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 144.
House Bill 144, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to alcoholic beverages regarding beer keg registration.
House Bill 144 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk, will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barter. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingrey. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Parchman. Harvey. Bastard. Hinckley. Michael. Gilloway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart excused. Lubno. Lubno I. Martin. McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Orberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Musterberger. Watt. White. Swanitzer. Mr. Speaker. Hinckley.
Excused.
Hinckley excused. Eichel.
Excused.
Eichel excused. Musterberger.
Members, is there a committee that's still out? It appeared to be. Musterberger excused.
Musterberger excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? I'm about to close the vote on House Bill 144. Are there any changes? Musterberger? Musterberger, aye. Are there any other changes? Hageman, aye to no. Alden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Eichel excused to House Bill 144. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Eichel excused to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 5 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 144, having received the affirmative vote of those elected to the House, House Bill 144 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 154.
House Bill 154, introduced by Representative Samuelson, an act relating to absentee voting being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Bill 154 does have an amendment. We're reading amendment number one to House Bill 154. Representative Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 154 and ask for your favorable consideration. As we indicated yesterday, there was just a small amount of confusion. We've gotten that cleared up. We talked to the chief election officer for the state. This is an amendment that he suggested. It looks good. It fits in well. And what it says is, if either alternate voting procedure provided in subsection A of this section is used, all of the provisions of the Wyoming Election Code shall apply to the same extent as if it were election day, unless otherwise specified in this section. So I'd ask for your approval.
Anyone else desiring to discuss the amendment? First time not seeing any. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to House Bill 154, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. House Bill 154, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bangy. Barnard. Berger. Rechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore, Avery, Bobbles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Bastard, Pinkley excused, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart excused, Lugnow, Lugnowai, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Riley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Orberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Sedgwick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
House Bill 154 has received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House. House Bill 154 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41.
House Bill 41, introduced by Representative Sedgwick, an act relating to outfitters and guides being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 41 does have a third reading amendment. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 41. Representative Gilmore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment to House Bill 41 and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. This bill is another attempt to disadvantage the resident sportsmen in favor of non-residents. It lowers the standards for hunting guides, again favoring the non-residents. With outfitting on the increase, this diminishes access to public land and resident access to hunting and fishing. I ask you to vote no on this.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Sedgwick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's been said on this floor, however, I would never say it, that if you don't like a bill, it's because you don't understand it. So I would like to go over the basic provisions of this bill in regard to the amendment that's come on. This bill provides that a resident landowner or a member of his immediate family can guide hunters on their private property. It doesn't say anything public land on their private property, or their deeded leased land. Don't say it about public leased land. Don't say it about public land at all. It has nothing to do with public land. So, this morning we heard a couple of personal stories on the House floor and debate of a previous bill, and I have one for you too. I think sometimes it's important to frame the picture around the issue by using these personal stories. My intent in bringing this bill forward was for this reason. I had hunters come on my property. This fall will be the 48th consecutive year that they've been on my property, or in the grandsons and sons and grandfathers now. I don't charge them anything for hunting. They come on, enjoy the hunt. If I'm not available to go out with them, what this bill will provide, I think, is a fundamental personal property right that a resident landowner or a member of his immediate family. If I want to ask my dad or my son to go out with these folks and guide them on that property, I think that is a personal right that they should have. So, again, this bill has no reference to public land. I appreciate what the outfitters and guides of the state and what they have done. This is not an attempt to compete with them. This is just a personal, private property right. And I think the object of this bill simply is to restore that right. So I'd ask you to not support the amendment and support the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for that first time? Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Robinson. Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Interesting that the previous speaker should mention that he doesn't charge anything for hunting on his place. I believe the statute says you can't hire or engage an outfitter that's not certified. So probably non-paying hunters wouldn't apply to this situation.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time, Representative Brecknell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment and the support of the bill. As a farmer, I know what it's like to have some need of protecting your property just a little bit. I've had people come onto the property and shoot towards the building, shoot towards the livestock, and things like that. If I understand right, I think that's really all this really seeks to do is to at least provide the property owner with a little bit of control about what's going on his property. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time, second time? Representative Gilmore.
Mr. Speaker, I admire the representative from Moorcroft that he doesn't charge for people hunting. However, I still stand by what I said, and I will withdraw the amendment now. Thank you.
House Bill 41, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Agee. Barnard. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childress. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Astert, Hinckley excused, Eichel, Illawick, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart excused. Lucknow? Aye. Martin? Aye. McComey? Mercer? Riley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Herbert, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Samlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Smolnitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 5 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 41 has received the affirmative vote of those elected to the House. House Bill 41 has passed the House. Representative Robinson. Pardon me, Representative Robinson. Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor. Okay. Thank you, members of the legislature. I'd like to you to recall back to last session, the last bill, the last day when we approved the Climate Challenge Program. I'd like to just tell you that half of the first classes in the audience today can look up in the North Gallery. If you can all make them feel welcome, please.
Thank you, and warm welcome to the House. Thank you for coming down to watch us today. Representative Hageman.
Well, Mr. Speaker, can I have the privilege to the floor?
You may.
I'd like to introduce a couple of people who are here who are quite special to me. That I said hello to Rosalind sitting up there. I'd like you to welcome him, but especially also Dr. Oakley, who is a surgeon in Torrington, and Dr. Oakley's the one that we'll be back together soon and come down and address all of this. I'd like to
welcome to the House, and thank you very much for your fine work. Representative Robinson.
Mr. Chairman, again, I am compelled on behalf of the many thousands of people of Wyoming who expressed the importance of the passage of House Bill 117 to their quality of life. I respectfully move pursuant to Rule 4-4 that House Bill 117 be recalled from the Revenue Committee to which it was referred.
This motion requires 5 seconds. If you wish to second, please stand. Representative Hammonds. The reason for the delay is we have to manually enter this into our program. Representative Jorgensen. Representative Gilmore. Representative McCulley. Representative Brechtel. It has sufficient seconds. This motion is unusual. It's not done very frequently, members of the House, to, but at least to a vast majority, you've not seen this motion before. What this motion is, under 4-4 of our rules, it provides the opportunity to pull a bill out of committee. Representative Robinson's motion is to pull 117 out of the Revenue Committee. The motion itself is debatable. The underlying bill is not. So any debate that we have on this is whether or not to actually vote for the motion. Representative Robinson, I would give you first crack at arguing for the motion.
Mr. Speaker, it is very unusual for this to happen on this floor. I have been here for 10 years, and I don't recall ever recalling a bill from committee. answer all of the messages and speak with all of the people who want this to happen. It's your chance to actually vote on this on the floor, and it has never been voted on the floor. It's never been discussed on the floor.
Chairman Rossiter. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the motion, I've been on this floor for 12 years, and there has been one time where a bill was actually tried to be blown out of committee, and that's what we call it, blown way out of committee. In response to the motion, I think that the Revenue Committee has done yeoman work on the many measures that they had before them, and so I would urge the body to vote no on this measure. And I would also remind my friends that when whatever bill comes out of revenue, if you choose to amend it at that time, you could also amend this in the future. So I think this is unnecessary, and I think we need to support our revenue committee.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. I have been here 14 years, and I have seen it tried once or twice. Thankfully, the body has not chosen to do that and override the committee's choice. Our committees work hard on these bills. They listen to the testimony. They make a decision that they think is right. I know of thousands of people out there that think that the sales tax on food is broader than the tax base. That, I don't want to discuss the bill. I'm sorry. I think the system works. If we're not going to let the system work, then there's not much use to coming up here. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, this is part of the system. It's in our rules. It's allowable. I've seen it tried once. It did not work at that time. However, it is part of our system. It's used when some people on the floor believe that a bill has not had a fair hearing. It's used when you might believe that the people of the state want something to pass and a wider vote than just one committee is necessary. I think that's the case here, is that the sponsor of the bill believes that the people of the state would like to see this heard on the floor of the House. I'd like to see a vote taken on the floor of the House. That's all this is about. This should thus be heard or not for the people of the state. It is part of the system. It's part of our rules. And there's nothing irregular about it, although it is unusual.
Ladies and gentlemen, to err on the side of caution, the chair is going to proceed as if there were two opportunities to speak until the finest otherwise. So, for your first time, Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, you know, I too served in the House when this was attempted before, and a lot of the discussion that we had, for those of you that weren't here, is you need to respect the committee process, even if it does take longer. The point is the committee process, they hear a lot more than most of us here on the floor. And I thoroughly respect the committee process. I've learned that that's truly the way to go. They get a lot more material, they get a lot more debate, and while the rules do allow for it, I think we need to respect that process. It's worked well for many years, and I urge you to defeat the proposal.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess the longer you've been in the body, the more sometimes your opinions change. And this is what I'm concerned about, this particular motion. And let me underline, I am not addressing the particular merits of the bill. I have seen this discussed on two occasions. And the one time that I recall it being actually coming to a vote of the body was what happened to me when a certain committee had not taken any action on the bill. I'm not saying, you know, you don't do things to set a precedent, but I do ask us to be cautious. Any one of us might be unhappy with the fact that a committee did not support our bill. Frankly, It's happened to all of us. It's happened to me. It's happened to me today. But I'm very cautious about using this process in order to overrule the committee, the procedure. So with that, I just tell you, we got all the more conscious on this, but I would ask that you not vote in support of the motion.
Ladies and gentlemen, just to clarify, except in committee of the whole, there is the limitation on speaking to two terms under Rule 14-1. Chairman Landon, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. I too hold the committee process and utmost respect. The investigation, the discovery, that's what the committee process enables, that in-depth understanding, that compelling argument has to come onto the floor to change that. What causes a conflict, I believe, in this particular situation is that we also are bound to represent the constituents in our districts. And the constituents in my district have spoken primarily in favor of this proposal. And for that reason, I'm going to support this amendment or this motion. That's the only way I know how to resolve it.
Representative Gay, for your first thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think by opening this door, we're taking one step closer to legislating by communication. We all hear from time to time from a vocal, possibly vocal minority, and we're opening the door to letting a vocal minority rule how we do things. So, against the motion.
Representative Esquivel, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, I would urge that you vote in favor of this amendment, and I do respect the process that we're involved in. I think it's very important, and as the previous speaker mentioned, it's part of our rules and has to be an unusual situation. I think this is one of those unusual situations. It's nothing more than, at least the way I look at it, you could compare it to review of a close call in a football game. Now, it wasn't too long ago when that didn't happen, and now we have a process where close calls are coaches ask for a review, and most of the time those calls are held, and sometimes they're reversed. And I guess I kind of look at the situation as basically a close call at the goal line, and it's a review. Thank you.
Representative Meyer, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, respect the committee process. However, sometimes it takes extreme measures to call attention to a problem. The people of the state want this tax relief on fuel, heating fuel, and food. The sponsor of this bill took quite a chance to bring this about, and for the good of the people of Wyoming. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, this is an unusual situation, I'll have to admit that. And I believe that what we're about to try to do is a very unusual situation. But we have rules that are used to address this. I think we need to be careful about this process and when we use it, but I believe this is one of those situations where we should. There's so much interest in this particular bill around the state that I believe that we as their representatives, the state's representatives, are really
really shouldn't give this issue an hearing in public on the floor of the House, the full House, not just one committee. I guess it just goes back to who do we represent. I know I represent about 8,200 people. There's an awful lot of interest in this bill. I think that they would best be served if there was a full debate on it on the floor of the House. And I know that that's what they would want me to do. Some would like to see it pass, some would not. But all of them, I believe, want to see it get its fair hearing. And that's why I would ask you to support this motion.
The body will stand and answer them. Ladies and gentlemen, the discussion we just had was, I asked our chief clerk what happens if the vote is an affirmative vote and it passes, the motion passes. The bill would come out of committee and back down to our chief clerk, and then the speaker has the option of referring it to another committee or referring it directly to committee of the whole. Even though the bill does have an appropriation in it, that same option would still apply, because it is permissive language and the rule not mandatory. So you're aware. Anyone else for their second time? Mr. Speaker? Representative Robinson for your second time.
Mr. Speaker pro tem, there is certainly no lack of disregard for the process here. This is part of the process. It was written into our rules to be used. We don't put rules in the House rules or the Senate rules or the overall rules just to have them take up space. This was put there so that it could be used. There is no lack of respect for the committee intended with this. There is respect for the public. A previous speaker from my county said that this could be legislating by communication. I commend to you that is how we should be legislating. Communication requires someone speaking and someone listening. We have representative government in this country and in this state. That is why we are here to represent. We are called representatives. I hope that we all legislate by communication. I hope that you will give us the opportunity to use this role, which is in our rules, to give this bill a fair hearing on this floor for the very first time, at least in the last 10 years.
Thank you. We'll put whatever motion the motion is to remove from committee number 3 of revenue. House Bill 171 and return it to the, 117 and return it to the chief clerk. If the clerk will, please call the roll.
Alden. Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Richtel. Brown. Buchanan. Ewolds. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Muggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Astert. Hinkley excused. Eichel. Illway. Jackson. Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart excused, Lubno, Martin, McCauley, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Heverson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Phil, I'd like to know, are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 25 ayes, 33 noes, 2 excused.
The motion has failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority elected to the House. Representative Edwards.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Amen.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to call the body's attention to our county commissioners from the county that is the major producer of uranium in the whole United States. Frankie from Marquez and Sharon Lovett right up here in the South Bay. Help me.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 135. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 35, State Assessed Property Taxation Study, IS 3000, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 136. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 37, School of Energy Resources, IS 3000, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 137, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 55, Qualifications of Circuit Court Magistrates, IS 3000, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 138, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 71, Medical Practice Act Amendments, IS 3000, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 139, Mr. Speaker, the bill is to vote, pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 73, Use of Surplus Water Funds, IS 29, NOS 1, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 140, Mr. Speaker, the bill is to vote, pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 84, Wyoming Pipeline Authority, IS 26, NOS 4, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 141, Mr. Speaker, the bill is to below pass the Senate on third reading. In amended form by the vote indicated, Senate File 85, Hathaway Scholarship Program, IS 3000, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee at number 5 on Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources to whom was referred House Bill 29. Respectfully report saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Davison, Dirks, Hageman, Jackson, Morgan, Powers, Samuelson, Semlick, signed Representative Hageman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5 on Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources to whom was referred Senate File 15 engrossed. Respectfully report saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Davison, Dirks, Hageman, Jackson, Morgan, Powers, Samuelson, Semlick, excused, Brown, Senate Representative Hageman, Chairman.
Are there any bills that need to be re-referred? Introduction and reference of Senate bodies. First Senate file for consideration is Senate File 18.
Senate File 18 introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public lands, misuse of state lands.
Senate File 18 is introduced and referred into committee number 5 of Agriculture. Next bill consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10 introduced by the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to counties, county commissioner staff.
Senate File 10 is introduced and referred to committee number 7, Corporations. Next bill for consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 2.
Senate
joint resolution number 2 introduced by the Tribal Council, and joint resolution 2 of the Federal Constitution to allow the state to make appropriations to the Business Council of the Eastern Shoshone Indian Tribe, the Business Council of the Northern Arapaho Indian Tribe, or the joint business council of the two.
Senate joint resolution number 2 is introduced. I refer to committee number 2, appropriations. Next call for consideration is Senate File 61.
Senate File 61, introduced by the Tribal Committee.
First reading of the bill.
Prairie Commission Authority.
Senate File 61 is introduced, referred to numbers, committee number 6, Tribal. Next bill for consideration is Senate File 73.
Senate File 73, introduced by Senator Basie.
First reading of the bill.
Of the cities and towns regarding use of surplus power funds.
Senate Bill 73 is introduced and referred to committee number 7, corporations. Next file for consideration is Senate Bill 55.
Senate Bill 55, introduced by Senator Gaines.
First reading of the bill.
Now related to circuit court magistrates and their qualifications.
Senate Bill 55 is introduced and referred to committee number 1, judiciary. Next bill for consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31, introduced by the Tribal Committee.
First reading of the bill.
Taxation. Regarding taxation of urban intangible property definitions.
Senate File 31 is introduced and referred to committee number 3, revenue. The last bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27, introduced by the Transportation Committee, and I relating to motor vehicles regarding insurance verification.
First reading of the bill is introduced and referred to committee number 8, Transportation. Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clark.
I have privilege on the floor.
You certainly may.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Every once in a while, it's my great pleasure to be able to introduce someone from my town, Annapolis, Wyoming. And today, in the South Gallery, we have our Chief of Police, Mark Nelson, who's now here for meetings. If you want to welcome him, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, and welcome to the House. Mr. Majority Floor, I'm sorry, Representative Buchanan.
Privilege on the floor.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give a warm welcome to the South balcony to one of our county commissioners, Mr. Lloyd Peterson.
Thank you, and welcome to the House as well. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe in that order of business of consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a little note on the schedule for tomorrow, which will be a lengthy but productive day. We will be coming in at 9 a.m. One of the committees has graciously accepted to move their committee starting time up till 7 a.m. to accommodate that. We will work until about noon. We're going to take about an hour off due to the fact that one of our committees needs to meet during the lunch hour. But we will be coming back somewhere around 1. Lunch will be provided when I'm back in the break room. So, if you don't want to go out, you're certainly welcome to partake in that. And, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. House is resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Buchanan.
Please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 24. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 24, introduced by the Agriculture Committee and Act relating to agriculture and animals regarding predator management program.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Hageman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee is called, arrives to report and do so with it. Do pass recommendation on House Bill 24. There is a standing committee amendment, and this time. And to explain it, it's a fairly short amendment for a fairly long bill. Page 1, line 13, delete the little m. Page 5, line 3, delete the line through species. And page 16, lines 15 through 24, delete entirely. This would delete it because it was covered in a different part of the law, and it also doesn't refer to what we're doing now. Page 17, lines 1 through 4, delete entirely. And then page 17, line 11, delete the word flat. And that's the standard committee amendment.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question? You haven't been called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We're back on the bill, and I believe we have a few committee of the whole amendments.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like the representative from us to present the bill.
Chairman Phil, just a point of order, we have it. There's also a second standing committee amendment. You want to take care of that now? Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chairman, what this does, it takes appropriation down from $10 million to $6 million.
What that does, there was an administrative fee in there, 3%, and it just reduced that. I don't know the department, I might need to raise that a little bit. Second reading amendment.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, do you consider this a friendly amendment?
So I would say it's a friendly amendment.
Mr. Chairman, we're not going to contest that amendment. We appreciate anybody we get into this program. It is an appropriate alignment, and we appreciate the support we've had from the Appropriations Committee, and so we appreciate this amendment.
Well, and, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank the chairman for the committee for his kind remarks. I think that the people from the ag community that were okay with this. I mean, it's a lot more than they have been getting help in predator control. You heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number two has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, could we have the bill explained that before we go ahead with the other amendments?
Who would you like to have explained the bill?
Representative from Osceola, present the bill.
Representatives. Mr. Chairman, we bring you House Bill 24, Predator Management Program. Members of the House, the impetus certainly spoke came from two major factors, really. The Attorney General's opinion that said the wildlife of this state are owned by the state, and it's the state's obligation to take care of that wildlife and protect it. Second, impetus is a growing awareness among members of the state, citizens of our state, that predator management, although it's extremely important to the agriculture industry, it's certainly not limited to the agriculture industry. More and more of those who favor wildlife, those who want to hunt it, to photograph it, to enjoy it in other means, also realize that predator management is a key factor. More and more, we're also realizing
is that our public health reasons. And so we have three major factors coming in to better to control the agriculture industry, wildlife, and then public health issues. Last summer, the Department of Agriculture went to every county animal damage, veterinary control board. It's hard for me to say animal damage management board, and so I might say ADMB from now on. Anyway, they went out to all the county veterinary boards and presented this proposal. And of course, local county folks were skeptical, as they should be, how many times the state is going to create an entity over them. Well, great care has been taken to make sure that nothing in this bill is going to supplant what is done by county predator boards. This is only going to supplement. However, it will involve some changes in the animal damage management board. We can't say it twice. The members of the House, if you look on pages 2 and 3, you'll see that my budget is his name change from predatory animal districts to predator management districts. Some of the key provisions of the bill start on pages 3, 4, 5. It talks about the makeup of the boards. You can see on page 4, the districts. So the three directors should be cattle owners having paid predator management fees on cattle. You can see that on the bottom of 4, a qualified applicant for director position identified in paragraph little I or 2 little I cannot be found. No qualified applicant seeks election of the board of directors, and the director position may be filled by an otherwise qualified elector, owning another of the livestock species, provided that no more than 4 directors may represent any one species of livestock. That's a carefully worded compromise there. And you can see that on the bottom of page 5, that's where we get to one of the more unique parts of this bill. This is where we get to the blending of the agriculture industry with those wildlife interests, and you can see that on the top of page 6. We have the people who are eligible to be on the board are those who are bona fide residents of the district and hold or have held either a valid farming, fishing, or hunting license with a Wyoming wildlife damage management stamp within the preceding 12-month period. County commissioners, to the greatest extent practical, shall select sportsmen and other representatives to ensure representation from as broad a geographic distribution of the district as possible. So we have the county commissioners of each county choosing the representatives that will be part of the animal management board. Very important, and something that was brought up in all the county meetings and explained thoroughly. Okay, we go to pages 7, 8, talking about the meetings of the district board. Pages 9, the duties generally. And some of the key language of this bill, and maybe one of the key parts of the bill, on the top of page 10, the duties of the board. And a little over that, 4, to coordinate with the affected individuals and entities to develop comprehensive predator management program for each respective predator management district, which addresses livestock, wildlife, and public health concerns. So it's very important to realize that these predator boards are going to take a wide look at what's going on, and with the key emphasis on those three items: livestock, wildlife, and public health concerns. Now, if you go to page 10, you can see again one language change, changing it to predator management district, and you can see that through pages 10 and 11. You can see that there's a report required. You can see over on page 12, starting where we get to the fees, and some key language there on page 13, that the fees are not to exceed $1 per head on sheep, goats, or cattle. They can go up to that, but they cannot exceed that. Okay? Page 13, 11 to 14, 15, talking again some more about feedlot, the commercial feedlot fees on page 15, not to exceed 25 cents per head on sheep, goats, and cattle. And it defines what commercial feedlot would be there. Going on, page 1617. Again, talking about the refund procedure of the creditor management fee, collections to be used on refunds in whole or in part. If a refund is requested, the board shall pay the refund within 180 days of application. Continuing on page 16, some more language change from predatory animal district to predator management district. Key new language on 17. If a livestock producer requests predator management services from the district board representing the county in which the producer is pasturing or housing livestock, and no predator management fees have been collected on the livestock to be protected within the previous 12 months, the board may charge a flat service fee to recover reasonable and actual costs of the predator management services provided. And again, the definitions on pages 17 and 18, and 18 and 19, then we get into the specifics of what happens with the Animal Damage Management Board, what it's composed of, the appointment, the terms, the vacancies, and how long those terms last. On 19, again, bottom 19, and then 20, most of that is more language change. And then on 21, we see exemptions. The Predator Management Advisory Board, or ADMB, may exempt persons from payment of the imposed fees when the respective board determines the livestock is defined in this act or permanently confined within pens or corrals of the incorporated city limits. So, members of the House, it's important to realize that the fourth statutory duty has been added to that, and I talked about that on page 10. And that's where, to the greatest extent possible, this board's going to coordinate with affected individuals and entities to develop comprehensive predator management program. Now, I believe that, to some degree, in the Appropriations Committee, and some specifics are asked for, and we need to have some specific projects that have had success so far, and the most really common value for that objective. One that showed anywhere from a 3-to-1 to 18-to-1 cost benefit ratio. In our area of the state, we have the Rawhide Recovery Project that showed a significant increase in deer numbers in predator control areas. To the point that the game and fish significantly increased the license number to that project area. And then the Western County Wildlife Enhancement Project. Preliminary results showed significant recruitment of fawns as well as immigration of deer into the area. Predator control, indicating that deer were seeking out areas of low predator density. And so, members of the House, this is an exciting program to many of us. It was compelling testimony in the Ag Committee that this predator animal damage management board is serving agriculture, but it's also serving wildlife, those who have wildlife, and certainly those who have public health concerns from the outbreaks of rabies that can occur from time to time.
We have a committee of the whole, Amendment Number 1, Representative Simak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. During the hearing last summer, as this bill was being drafted, the Department of Ag came to us with a request for a sum of money for the administrative costs to administer this program. And some of us were a little bit concerned, not knowing how the body might feel about this program and what type of appropriation might be there at the end of the day. We had inserted into the bill language that there are going to be 3% of the appropriations for the administrative costs. And we're finding out as we move through this process that this probably will not be enough money for 2 years to administer this program. So, Mr. Chairman, I move committee the whole Amendment Number 1. What this amendment will do then is strike the 3% and add in the $300,000. This will be the administrative cost to hire an additional person in the Department of Ag to administer this. And this money, again, will come out of the appropriations that the chairman of the Appropriations Committee just moved here on the Standing Committee Amendment. So it's not additional money. This money will, would come out of the $6 million. So they will have to change some language in there instead of $6 million, we're talking about $5,700,000, and we'll strike 3% at $300,000. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Okay, we are recommending amendment number one. Okay, all those in favor of commandable amendment number one, please say aye. Opposed, no. Commandable amendment number one is adopted. We're back on the bill. And Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just need to declare conflict on this.
Here we have the committee the whole amendment number two, Representative Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move committee the whole amendment number two, House Bill 24. Ladies and gentlemen, what this proposal amendment does is to relieve and remove wildlife management from local predator boards. Their job, Mr. Chairman, I believe, is protecting property. And straight up, it's protecting primarily sheep. They, to try to expand their duties beyond protecting property into wildlife management is a whole new change of philosophy that we would undertake. Controlling predators for wildlife management is at best a dangerous proposition. I can talk on that if that turns out to be some of the arguments for doing that that's beneficial, that's quite questionable. But the main thing is we have the Wyoming Department of Game and Fish to manage wildlife. And that's where it needs to be kept, in the hands of a professional wildlife managers and wildlife biologists of the state who count the numbers, who know what's going on out there in the field. I'm just very concerned that we now are creating a second agency to manage wildlife in the state. Mr. Chairman, to go through the amendment real rapidly, the first primary change is actually on page 5, where it eliminates the three hunters and sportsmen from the local district boards. The next substantive changes on page 9, line 14, where it removes wildlife. That section now would say each predator management district board shall, the Roman one, exercise supervision over predatory animals and predaceous birds that prey upon and destroy livestock and other domestic animals, period. No wildlife. Similar language is on line 5 on page 10, where once again, we want the animal damage boards in the local districts to control predators for the protection of livestock. In that case, it also has public health concerns. I think that's primarily rabid skunks or other rabid animals. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the proposal here, is that we have the Game and Fish, the Wyoming Game and Fish, to control and to oversee the state's property and wildlife, and I think that's where we need to leave it.
Representative Dirks, members of the body have asked if you resist this amendment. It certainly does change the complexion of the bill. The aim of the bill is to seek compromise, to try to find some way for groups that have, in the last decade or so, been opposed, try to bring both these groups to the table. If you take a look at the composition of the Animal Damage Management Board, we have representatives from the Game and Fish Department and the Department of Ag as ex officio members of the board. We are trying to develop a communications process here. This amendment seems to take things back into divided factions, which is not the way that we in the Agriculture Committee and many members of this body want to see the direction of predator management go.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I thought the opening statement in support of this amendment was interesting. That it intends to remove wildlife management from the board. I don't see this as a wildlife management issue. Never seen it as a wildlife management issue. But let's explore that just a little bit deeper. What does that mean, wildlife management? And one of the things that I've gained a great appreciation for since I joined this body and worked on some of these issues in my committees is the fact that you can manage predators and you can manage wildlife of the type that we're talking about here without ever touching them, without ever doing anything to them. How do you do that? You manage the prey base. That's what it's called. That's a magic word, the prey base. And by managing the prey base, you can, in fact, manage predators without ever laying a finger on them. So the question is not, I think, whether this board's going to be in the wildlife management business. It's just a matter of how the prey base is going to be managed and how the predators are going to be managed. And virtually everything in the state is managed to a greater or lesser degree. The Fish and Game makes their flights all winter, they count their game, they set their quotas, and they manage the prey base. However, they want some preciseness in the management of that prey base. The predators are not managed the same way the prey base is, so the predators go their own way. And we need some sort of management with predators that parallels the management of the prey base. And I don't think by controlling predators through this board that we're in the wildlife management business. But it is interesting to note that in this Attorney General's opinion dated March of 2005 that kicked all this off, the Attorney General renders an opinion that predators are wildlife. So these animals are wildlife. Now, these boards are for the purpose of controlling the predators. If you just want to control predators with the prey base, you can do that with the Game and Fish. I suppose that you could put funds in the Game and Fish and ask them to get in the predator business, but I'll tell you, they'd rather not be in it. So, there better have some way to manage the prey base. That's the Game and Fish. We have to have some way to manage the predators to keep everything in balance. And that's the purpose of this. Now, the other interesting problem that this amendment would create is that it makes no attempt to modify the statute with respect to the Animal Damage Management Board. So, if we were to enact this amendment, we would take away the power from the predatory animal boards, but the overarching organization, the Animal Damage Management Board, would still be left with the responsibilities in 116308. And they're charged with exercising general supervision and determining local priorities for the management of predatory animals and predaceous birds, the prey upon and destroyed livestock, other domestic animals, wildlife, and crops. And they're also charged to devise and put into operation those methods that best manage predatory animals and predaceous birds. I think it's been a policy decision of the state. Quite some time back, that statute was enacted in 1999. The Predatory Animal Board statutes go clear back to 1943. During the big war, the Great War. That's how long this has been around. That's how long this system has been in place. Certainly there's communication between the predatory animal boards and the Game and Fish. But to strip these boards of this authority is to reverse a policy decision that's been in place in this state for a long time, and it's worked. And all this bill does is try to incorporate a wildlife segment into it so that these boards are properly balanced between the prey base and the predators. And the sportsmen ought to have a voice in that. And so the sportsmen have been incorporated into this. They get a place on the board, they get a seat at the table, and an opportunity to participate. The other limitation that we've had on predators is funds. And for too long, in my opinion, way too long, the livestock industry has shouldered the burden of predator control. And it's been one that they've shouldered over the years because they had the economic means to do so. But that economic means is changing. We have a predator stamp. Any sportsman can buy that predator stamp and thereby contribute the cost of the stamp to the predator control. 2 years ago on that stamp, it's a voluntary stamp, the state made the grand sum of $1,200. So all they got, very few of those, and that's at $10 a piece, those 120 of them, I guess, was sold. That is not a very high participation. It leaves the burden for predator control on the livestock industry. The wildlife is benefiting from predator control. These boards are charged with protecting wildlife as well as protecting livestock. And it's time that we found a way that to equitably fund this instead of settling it entirely on the back of livestock. So I would ask you to reject this amendment, enact this bill, incorporate the sportsman into the process, inject some money into the program to make it work, and let it work the way it ought to, and make it work the way that our state has set a policy since 1943. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I stand for the bill and against the amendment. I would very strongly disagree with the good representative from Sheridan, and I hate to do that, but ladies and gentlemen, he's wrong. Our committee studied this all summer. We had testimony from the Game and Fish Department and from the Game and Fish Commission that support this bill, and we testified to it. I want to tell you that our ranch borders the desert in southwest Wyoming. And we have deer and antelope, we have moose on our ranch year round. I've witnessed lions work on baby animals. We've had calves, lambs, and colts with eyes picked out. We've also had baby antelope with their eyes picked out. It's not a very pretty sight. We've witnessed the sage chickens' nests with eggs, and the next day they're gone. And we used to have very many sage chickens and few and very little frogs. Now we have many frogs and few chickens. Yes, the predators were bad people. But don't ever kid yourself that they just prey on the domestic animals. What are we going to do when the predators take all the sage chickens and they get listed? I don't think we're going to like that outcome very much. Besides all that, we have the wolves to contend with that bring down our necks. And the grizzlies are on their way. This bill is not about killing coyotes, and it's not about managing wildlife. This is about our way of life. We need it, and we better be paying attention to what's going on in the outcome. I urge you to vote no on this amendment and yes on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Hill, voting against the amendment. And I just want to point out that when we met this bill in the Appropriations Committee, the Game and Fish Department came in and they support the bill. The commission supports the bill. One of the largest conservation organizations that represents sportsmen on fish and wildlife issues, they supported the bill. And I also want to remind you that the folks go first to the Animal Damage Management Board. And that's a group appointed by the governor that represents a pretty wide area of interest in wildlife and predator management. And then they set up the rules, and they decide how the funds are distributed to the county predatory animal board. So it's going to have a lot of scrutiny, and it will certainly help the wildlife in the state and give us a more integrated management of wildlife and predators. So I ask you to defeat this amendment. Representative Powers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the bill and against the amendment, just a point of information on our ranch. We hear a lot from the conservationists and the fish and game, a lot about habitat. Most of the time, when I think of habitat, I think of both the flora and the fauna. Cortez has gotten better over my lifetime, mainly because we have put in reservoirs up above, and so we have water on our land now instead of just from the 1st of May until the end of June. We were watering our fields many times clear into August, so the habitat has increased in its value to both livestock and fish and wildlife. One of the problems that we have was alluded to by my good colleague from Lincoln County is the new predators. When I was young, we didn't have ravens in my country, we didn't have buzzards in my country, we didn't have raccoons in our country, and we didn't have red fox in our country, and we absolutely didn't have any wolves. But now we have got a lot more company for neighbors there. Also, we have been limited by the tools that we have to control predators. We no longer can use 1080. So the cheap and the easy way to control predators has been taken from us. We have also, and that has added to the increase in lions, and it's increased the number of coyotes and all the other smaller predators. We've had urban creep on us, and with the urban sprawl that is happening in our area comes dogs and cats that are running wild. And so therefore, we don't have sage chickens on my place anymore, and we used to have many. I would like to encourage you to address this problem by voting yes for the bill and no on this amendment. It's a matter of saving our wildlife, and I'd like to encourage everybody to vote yes for the bill and no for the amendment. Thank you.
You're on Committee of Amendment Number 2. Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the first things a person studies whenever you go into the University of Wyoming and take a wildlife management class is a classic case of wildlife management gone awry in the Kaibab Forest on the north side of Grand Canyon. And in the 1950s, they went in there, and it was Hunter's proposal, and it was wildlife management. And they went in there with all the best intentions of the world to improve the deer habitat in there. It was a great deer hunting country. They cleaned out the predators in there, and then sure enough, the deer population responded as expected. Year after year, more deer came in. Year after year, they kept working and eating their winter habitat, too. And finally, that came the hard winter. They ate their shrubbery in that area down to stems that were about half inch in diameter. To this day, 50 years later, there was just a recent paper out that I saw about 5 years ago that said that habitat had not yet recovered. And that's the kind of damage you can do. And that's the kind of damage that without this amendment, we're opening ourselves up to. Without the amendment, we are changing the philosophy. You know, I don't have any trouble at all with protecting bands of sheep, protecting lambing areas. We went through this in 1999. The representative from Laramie County, Albany County, said that. You know, we had experts coming here from Utah. And we have a lot of people who are interested in this. And it's not rocket science. Coyotes this time of year right now are establishing mating territories. They run other coyotes out and pairs set up their territories. Now, from now on through the spring, if you get the least little bit of snow, you can fly these areas and you can clean those coyotes out of there. And there's money to do that in here. And we're continuing the legacy that was started in 1943 of helping, except we never have done it through we've enabled the bank to do it, but now we're going to fund them too. I can even let that go. But I can barely keep my feet on the ground from having a fit, thinking about managing wildlife with such ignorance. It's just appalling to me. But anyway, I'll settle down a minute. is a bill without the amendment or with the amendment. But it's going to focus the resources where we need them, and that's protecting private property. Without the amendment, and we go into this wildlife management through killing off predators, it is just something that I would say probably none of us in this body realize the ramifications of what can happen there. Let me just say a couple of things that have happened around the state lately. Who traveled north of Casper this fall and winter? 30 miles north of Casper, the road was paved with rabbits. Does anybody remember that? Phenomenal numbers of rabbits. You know, there's a wildlife cycle going on. We don't understand that, why that's going on. As I was driving down here, I wondered where all those rabbits are. You know, and since they cleaned the roads, you can't really tell them. So I started looking at the shrubbery along the side. Every big bush, about every 200 yards, had a rabbit sitting at the base of it. They're still there. Now, why is that population explosion? Well, we don't know. There hasn't been any big coyote control in there or anything that I know of. Maybe there has been. And what's going to happen next? Well, likely they'll get some disease or something and the population will crash. But I don't know. I can't predict that. But to have the arrogance to think that we puny little men can understand the complex cycles that go on in nature and that we have the ability to go out there and manage wildlife in order to get a few more deer is just ludicrous and it's dangerous. We have so many deer in Sheridan now, you can hardly raise shrubs in the subdivisions. We have so many deer, so many white-tailed deer in the river valleys that you walk through them and all the shrubs have been cleaned up to about head height. And there's no managing going on in there. If we do any more, I hate to think what happened. I'll give you an example. A neighbor has a field that they weren't able to get the third cleaning about outlaw. Well, I drove by that and I looked over there and holy smokes, that's a lot of deer on that field. It must have been 40 or maybe an 80-acre field. I happened to run into a game warden later on and I said, you know, I saw so-and-so's field must have 300 deer on it. He said, wrong, it had 600 deer on it. So, you know, there's so many deer around Sheridan, we can't kill them all. It's just phenomenal. And yet, to advocate predator control over a natural system is just dangerous. And so I would really urge you to vote for the amendment so that I can keep my feet on the ground.
We're still on committee of the whole, amendment number two, Representative Morgan. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment for the bill was Mr. President Avery. We called a couple years ago, we had a meeting up in Cody and Northwest part of the state on Senate, and we were there working on predator control. And we got to visit a ranch up there, and they did invite us up to a dinner that night, and driving up there, we had to drive through so many head of elk. It was just amazing, and the person that owned the ranch up there, he was just destitute of what to do with all these elk, because predators had run the elk into his ranch. And that was 2 years ago, and now it's even worse than it was then. And, you know, I love nature, I love animals, but we do need to control predators and pass this bill. And it's had a lot of hard work done to it this whole year. So, I guess I'm out for the bill. Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, maybe part of the problem is having experts from Utah to come in to tell us about our wildlife. But, I think that, you know, we're losing track. This bill isn't about coyotes. It's about managing the predators. And I think that this bill gives the opportunity to the game and fish to manage the deer and the other populations, as well as the people of Wyoming to still enjoy the sports and to still have be able to make a living off the land. Thank you.
Okay,
representation that goes along with this amendment, that there's a natural state. And this is in a natural state. And maybe that's really the point of what I said before. There's nothing natural about this at all. Virtually everything in this ecosystem is managed. It's managed in one way or another, through the prey base, through the livestock numbers, through predator control, through a lot of things. And there's some sort of equilibrium out there. And that equilibrium takes into account the predator control policy that we've had since 1943. And it's not a natural state. And so you can't go and turn one segment of it loose and say, well, we're going to let that run its natural course when nothing else does. And like it or not, for better or worse, all components of this system are managed. And it's no different to manage the predators than it is to manage the rest of the ecosystem. There's virtually none of it left that isn't managed in one way or another. The game and fish manages these numbers. We manage the predators. The crops are managed. Everything is managed. So it just defies reality to say, well, we're going to take one small component of this and just turn it loose to run, and we want to go back to nature and want to go back to its natural state. That is never going to happen, because to go back to its natural state, everything would have to be unmanaged, and that just isn't a situation that I can foresee. So against the amendment before the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually sat down and got my feet back on the ground, but having heard the last statement, I had to hop up again. Because that is exactly the point of the amendment. Is with the amendment, we have a chance to keep wild places and open spaces. Without the amendment, we're verifying, we're putting our stamp on a zoo, a managed zoo.
All those in favor of committing the whole amendment number 2, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. Amendment has failed. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question now been called. All those in favor of Representative Hagman's motion that the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that bill number 24 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House bill 24 has passed. Committee of the whole, the next. Representative
Martin. Mr. Chairman, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
In the right back of me up here, I'd like to introduce to the City Councilman from Knoxville, Mr. Chad Bates and Mr. Rob Zotti. Please welcome.
Representative Osborne. Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'd like you to give a warm welcome to two of the Johnson County commissioners up in the West Balcony, Gerald Fink and Gilbert Idle.
The next bill, Representative Samuels, under you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go back over. Mr. Chairman, should that bill be ready in first meeting?
Yes, I thought you were standing there for a privilege of the floor. Okay. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 60. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 60, introduced by the Mineral Committee and activating to the Wyoming Business Council.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that by the committee the whole rises report do so with the recommendation that House Bill 60 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the standing committee amendment. And I move that at this time. And Mr. Chairman, I would defer the discussion to the representative from District 47.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you. The bill before you are simply some clarifications on what they're doing in the Wyoming Business Council. As you know, since the formation of this, they've had the opportunity to really enrich a number of our communities by building infrastructure to help the business development, the business climate. But as they made some of those decisions, there are some decisions that have rankled certain members of the legislature. And so each year we have an opportunity to review the statute and to try to refine it so that, in fact, the Wyoming Business Council invests in those things that this body can feel full confidence in. With that said, there are, I will deal first with the amendment, the standing committee amendment. What you can find is that we were dealing with two components. One is telecommunications, and the other has to do with landscaping. I'll begin first with the page 2, line 13. What you would find there is there was discussion about telecommunications infrastructure and providing the funding for that. It was brought to our attention by the a number of the public utilities in the state that they wanted to be confident that public funds would not be used to compete with these private entities. In order to satisfy their concerns, our discussion led to the following language: that the telecommunications infrastructure would be related to economic development infrastructure projects. And our thinking in that regard was that the private entities would bring the utilities to the business park, and then within the infrastructure of the business park, of course, we would hope that the private entities would provide the needs of the infrastructure, but if in fact no Wyoming private enterprises were interested in that, that the community and through their business partners or funding from the Wyoming Business Council would be able to provide cutting-edge technology. That's the idea behind that particular amendment. The second amendment focuses on landscaping, and I'm sure that all of you at one point or another have reviewed the projects that were funded by the Wyoming Business Council. And what we've done to refine this is we have limited it and been quite specific. The landscaping would now be related to community entrances or places of economic activity. The idea being that, indeed, we could improve the appearance of many of our Wyoming communities, and that requires landscaping. Communities would be able to apply for funding through the Wyoming Business Council in order to do that. The other portion is if you wanted to do landscaping for anything related to economic activities, for example, your retail district, a business park, those kinds of things which are directly related to the economic vitality and health of your community, you could apply for landscaping in those specific instances. That is what the amendment deals with, and I would move its adoption.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question has been called. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you. The rest of the bill, on page 3, you will see that under the Wyoming Community Facilities Program, we have added the wording on line 16 that funding, the existing school can be converted either wholly or partially so that a community could have a convention facility if they felt that that was important to their community's vitality. We also add on line 19 if they wanted to incorporate landscaping in the improvement of the conversion of their existing school into another use. Money could be used for that purpose. And then on page 4, this is simply cleanup language. On lines 7 through 11, there have been questions, and in fact, as the rules have progressed, this simply clears it up. The expectation would be if you were going to do any construction, it would have to be adjoined to the existing structure, but you could have that construction. You would have development and rehabilitation of the infrastructure serving an existing facility, and you could have rehabilitation of an existing facility, and you could use money for purchase of an existing facility. These are the ways that it's being interpreted through the rules, but we wanted that specific language to be in the statute and there not to be any confusion in that regard. And then the last addition to the bill is, you can see on the bottom of page 4, in Romanette 3, the word existing has been added in front of all of the parts where it says school facilities. And that was part of the big debate that we had at the end of the session last year, whether or not, as for example, in some communities, their school is no longer usable and it's torn down. Could a community in that location build an entirely new structure? This language makes it quite clear that you have to use an existing school. You cannot tear it down completely and build on that land a standalone structure.
Any more discussion on the bill? Ready for the question?
question hasn't been called. All those in favor of Representative Samuelson's motion that the committee of the whole rises for to do so with the recommendation that bill number 60 be passed, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 60 has passed. Committee of the whole. Representative Eichel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going from the shadow of the big words of the Western escape of Sheridan County, I'd like you to greet County Commissioner Terry Graham in the South Bay area.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 112. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 112, introduced by Representative Harvey and acting district attorneys, multiple county district attorneys.
You've heard the reading of the bill. It is your pleasure. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when committee of the whole rise and restore to do so with the recommendation that House Bill 112 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment number one, which I move at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's difficult to explain the standing committee amendment without explaining the whole bill, but I'll try to do a short version of it and then turn over the explanation of the bill to the good representative from across the mountain. The first substantial change is on the amendment. You'll see on line 14 on the amendment that has to do with page 10, line 10. The original bill had proposed that when three or more counties in a judicial district got together and wanted to share a district attorney, they could. This changes that to where it doesn't have to be three or more counties, it just has to be a majority of the counties within a judicial district. Then the committee looked at how these districts were to be set up, and the most logical way to set them up was to establish a joint powers board between the two counties. That way, you also had a mechanism to end them and to end a district attorney proposal. If one of the counties wanted to end up to go back to a county attorney, they could simply end the joint powers board and they're part of the joint powers board that would take care of that. So that's what the rest of the amendment is, and it's bringing the Joint Powers Board into the governance of the proposal. Unless there's any questions on that, I would move the amendment or vote for a question on the amendment, and we'd go to the bill, whatever your pleasure is.
Representative Kingery. Mr. Chairman, just some questions on the amendment. I see the intent of the amendment. I just don't think it's doing what you thought it was going to be doing. Under the Joint Powers Act, there's actually a difference between a JPA and a JPB. The JPA is a joint power agreement, which is just an agreement between counties. What you've done here in this amendment, you've created a joint power board. And most counties are very worried about creating JPBs. But what you do, you place people on those boards that are not the county commissioners. Thus, the county commissioners lose total control as to the actions of that board. And you actually have seen this across the state of Wyoming recently. More and more counties are moving away from joint power boards and moving toward joint power agreements in which the county commissioners retain control. The difficulty is that joint power boards are actually separate legal entities, separate and distinct from the counties. They can be sued in their own names. The other difficulty is having a state elected officer, whatever one needs to understand, clearly is in the state of Wyoming, we have two different judicial systems. And this happened in the early 80s. Laramie County and Troy County had a dismal problem with their attorney office. So it was a state takeover, it was a state emergency takeover, the state took over all the prosecution of both Laramie and Troy County. We created what's called a district attorney system. That district attorney system was meant to go across the state and never did. So we've always had this distinction between Laramie and Troy County having DAs and the rest having county attorneys. The big distinction here for this amendment is that DAs are paid for by the state of Wyoming. County attorneys are paid by counties. The difficulty maybe is that having a state elected officer, which again is serving under a joint power board, and having a board sort of controlling an elected officer, or at least the ability to remove his office, may be a difficulty. I would recommend defeating the standing committee amendment and perhaps somebody come back on second reading that sort of has the same thing but through a joint power agreement where the counties retain control and the counties make the decision about whether or not they want to end the DA system.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move that we divide the standing committee amendment, and if I could borrow somebody's amendment, I'd get mine up. Thank you. This amendment actually had two purposes. And so could we divide the amendment lines 1 through 17 being part 1 and lines 2? Well, actually, they're not visible. Could we divide part 1 being lines 1, 2, and 3 and lines 11 through 17? That would be division number 1. Division number 2 would be lines 4 through 9. And lines 18 to the end of the page.
I believe that is divisible. So if you'd like to take division number 1 first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Division number 1, when we originally had this bill drafted, it was for the larger district court districts that had 4 counties. And at that point, 3 out of the 4 counties would be able to enter into an agreement to have a district attorney, and the 4th county would continue with their county attorney. But upon testimony being heard in judiciary, there were other counties that had 3 counties in their court district, and 2 of those counties wished also to have the ability to enter into a district attorney situation. So we would like, I would say that division number 1 allows for the majority of the counties in the court district to accept the district court arrangement.
Representative Harvey, in looking at this again on lines 11 and 12, I believe I referenced Title 16, which deals with joint powers board. So if you would like to redivide this, I think you can do it by adding to your part 2 of the amendment, lines 11 and 12. So you have, for everybody, that would be part 1 is still 1 through 3, 13 through 17, and then part 2 would be lines 4 through 12 and 18 through 45.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for that clarification. Thank you for your indulgence. I would request that the body vote aye on part 1 of this amendment.
Okay, we are looking at Division 1 of Standing Committee Amendment 1 to House Bill 112. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Division 1 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 112 has passed. We are now on Part 2 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 112. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I respectfully withdraw a Part 2 of this amendment, and we'll come back on a second reading amendment and fix the Joint Powers Agreement, Joint Powers Board question.
Okay, Part 2 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 112 has been
withdrawn. Part one has been approved, and so we are back on the bill. Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's probably the best way to go. I'm not sure that the representative from the other side of the mountain can withdraw that, so I will withdraw that. As the maker of the motion.
Sounds good to me. Is there another discussion on the bill? Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is was kind of a simple bill, and then it hit committee. That's all right, though. There are counties with a very low valuation that have a difficult time maintaining all of the offices that are necessary to run a county, and the county attorney office is one of those that they have a difficult time affording to recruit people to run for this office, and even when they have good help in this office, sometimes it's difficult for them to afford help when this office becomes overwhelmed. If you look at the fiscal note of this bill, it pretty much says it's neutral, that whatever is the potential expenditure decrease to the state would be indeterminable, and the potential expenditure, the source of potential expenditure decrease, they thought it would just come out about the same as far as the cost to the state. In talking with some of the district judges, they report that some of the county attorneys have a lack of experience and a lack of training, and that there are cases across the state that are being lost that shouldn't have. We did hear from the Supreme Court that they're neutral on this issue. It doesn't matter to them one way or the other if this bill passes or not. So they're not in support, and they're not against either. So, Mr. Chairman, with that explanation, I would urge the body to vote aye on this bill.
Representative Lugno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm skeptical about the accuracy of the fiscal note, and while I support the concept and what we're doing here, allowing counties to work together to get good quality prosecutions, I think that counties are going to see that the state of Wyoming is picking up the tab for prosecutions, and we're going to have 21 counties opt into this program, and the state of Wyoming take over paying the tab for all of those prosecutions for all of the county attorney's offices. And while the state of Wyoming does provide some subsidy for county attorney prosecutions, it's nowhere near what the cost to the state of Wyoming of this program will be. And while I support the program, I would urge us all to go into the program with our eyes open.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly rise in support of the bill that's put forward. The first time I saw it, during the 3 weeks we were working on appropriation issues to have during the month of January. It came up, and we reviewed this. We fully realized that there may be some questions here on the appropriation and what the cost may be to the state. But on the other side, the things that you want to look at is we have counties within the state of Wyoming that had a low valuation, and they're handicapped in numerous ways, one of which is a strong judiciary. This bill will certainly strengthen that type situation, because recruiting county attorneys, district attorneys, is a difficult proposition for these people. And the other factor that you need to look at here, this is a effort that's put forward by county commissioners. Of at least three or a majority, there can be perhaps even more that enter into it. And on our second reading, we can straighten this out on the board versus the agreement. So I certainly stand in support of this to help these people out.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you. We spend a lot of the time in this body trying to craft laws that will protect the health and safety of the citizens of this state. We do that with the assumption
that they will be protected by the duly elected people who will be enforcing the laws that we have crafted. If, in fact, we do not also provide a system that provides the best legal services that we can to those communities, then we are erring. Why spend time making sure that we have laws that deal with drugs, that deal with drunk driving, that deal with all of the multitude of things that we've talked about this session, if, in fact, we do not have attorneys that can successfully protect the health and safety of our citizens in our counties? Please vote for this bill. It will help so many of the counties in this state that are revenue challenged and cannot provide the services that they need to for their residents.
Mr. Chairman, I think this would be quite an additional burden on the state to establish these. We have two of them now, and I don't even remember right off the top of my head what they cost, but they're very expensive, and when they submit their budget, the budget narrative is like a five-page legal brief. It'll be quite an expense to the state, depending on how many there are. And the fiscal note doesn't reflect that, but it will be expensive, I'll tell you that. Representative Alden.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill. This body has passed criminal law after criminal law, which has resulted in unfunded state mandates to our counties. Many of the counties that have a low tax base have actually been engaged in dialogue at looking at conserving resources and to form these types of partnerships that would allow them to implement a better system of prosecution within a 1, 2, 3, 4 county, on a 4-county basis. It's a much-needed law to allow these counties to move forward to proceed inadequate resources for their prosecution. I guess I'm finding it just a little bit ironic that this body passes these laws, expects them to be implemented at the local level with no resources or additional funding. I find it even more ironic that those that doth protest the passage of this law come our good representative from Campbell County. Thank you.
Representative.
Thank you. I'm completely cognizant of the pressures that we have in a budget session, and we have to always be fully aware of the expenses. But if we look at the total picture, I would put forth to you that it is more expensive for our police forces to arrest people, to gather all the information, to do all of the depositions that the county attorney does, to do all of that work, all of that preparation, and then to go to court and to lose. This is what's happening across the state of Wyoming because of the situation that we have. This is one remedy, is that you can have a group of counties that are willing to work together to improve the level for all of them. It's a cooperative effort, and I think it's something that we should encourage in more areas of state government and in local government.
Representative McCauley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have a question, I guess, for the bringers of the bill. Why did we decide that we needed to go to a district attorney? Why couldn't we have disagreement and have a county attorney with the cost shared by whatever, however many counties are wants to join this? I'd like to hear a response on that. Thank you.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was brought up that there would be an additional burden to the state for this service, and it's true, it would be. But the county still will be contributing to the district attorney situation. And why are we bringing this? Because counties simply can't afford to do what needs to be done in law enforcement. The state set aside an opportunity for all district courts to go to a decent DA system. But when you've got a situation where the majority of the counties cannot afford the quality that perhaps one county in the district court district can afford one and want one, the one county can stop the district attorney office from happening. What this does is give the counties that can't afford it or that are anxious to go to a district attorney situation where they can recruit people with more experience, it gives them an opportunity to participate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge this body to pass this bill out of committee of the whole. We have already established the mechanism for having a district attorney. It's very plain in statute that if a county reaches a population of 60,000, they automatically get one. It's very plain in statute that in any judicial district, if a majority of the county commissioners want to establish a judicial district, we've already made the financial commitment to finance district attorney offices throughout the state of Wyoming. But there are some extraordinary circumstances here, particularly in our rural counties. And this, making these changes to this statute would allow us to establish the Office of District Attorney and would allow us to be more competitive in being able to hire someone to adequately represent us in the rural counties. So we've already made the financial commitment to this process, and this would allow more of us an opportunity to take advantage of that and have the representation that we need. And I urge this body to pass this bill out of committee of the whole. Thank you.
Representative Hammonds.
With regard to the excellent question from the fine representative from the land of the Wind River, the reason that we came up with this solution was on advice of council, and then after all four counties in the Bighorn Basin met and discussed it, and they decided this would be the best way to go. Anytime you can get all four counties in the Bighorn Basin to agree on anything, I think it's a pretty good idea. The other portion is we have to remember in terms of looking at the financial cost. As it was stated much earlier in the discussion this afternoon, when this was designed to do a district attorney system, it was assumed the entire state would move this direction. And in fact, I think it's been very successful in both Laramie County and in Natrona County. And for that reason, I don't see that as a reason to preclude other counties that don't have that population base to also have the fine level of prosecutorial services that those particular parts of the state enjoy.
For the time we've got to go for as the budget stands right now, as it comes from JAC, those total cost is about $6.5 million for the biennium. And if you then take more, you'll be getting close to $20 million. So think about what you're going to do. This could be expensive. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure that when you talk about Natrona County, when you talk about two areas of our state that are high in population, that they have many assistant DAs and they have many secretaries and they have many offices, I would submit to you that in the small rural counties, you're likely to have one office in each county. And I just can't imagine that it would come anywhere close to the amount of money that it costs to run the same kind of district attorney situation that we have in our two district attorney situations today.
Any more discussion on the bill? I'm ready for the question. Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Landman's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that bill number 112 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House bill 112 has passed committee of the whole. The next division having been called. All those in favor, please stand.
As previously stated, House Bill 112 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 39. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 39, introduced by the Agriculture Committee and Act relating to the Wyoming Livestock Board.
And for the reading of the bill, what is your pleasure? Chairman Hageman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee is authorized to report, that we do so with a favorable recommendation on Bill 39, Wyoming Livestock Board. I will explain the bill. On page 1, line 12, it says the Wyoming Livestock Board may allow its business to be conducted electronically as provided by the Uniform Electric Transmission Act, Transactions Act. That's part of the bill. And also on the second page, we've only been paying these people on the Livestock Board $10 a day for doing it for all these years since the Livestock Board's been formed. And this bill simply makes it so they're paid the same as legislators are paid now. I don't know how we've got anybody to do it because it is a job with a lot of responsibility, and we're just simply getting them to actually volunteer with their time, and this just simply makes it so that they get paid the same as legislators. So I'd urge you to vote for this. There is a appropriated from the general fund $50,000 for the purpose of implementing this act. And I believe the appropriations committee okayed that at 7-1. That's all the bill. It isn't a very long bill. It is, but it is a pretty important bill for the Livestock Board and to those people who put in long, hard hours. You know, they've had some real problems with changes in the brand law and the boost losses and all of those things. They've had to put in a lot of hard, long, hard work. And, been asking to do it for $10 a day, and this bill just simply changes that.
Chairman Hageman, would you like to move the standing committee amendment on that?
It should be automatic, shouldn't it? It says page 2, line 7, stricken compensation. After delete salary, put in compensation rather than salary, because the other day I had a gal up here and there was a discussion about part of it, so we beat you to it this time. We put salary in ahead of time, so that is the amendment. That is the committee amendment, so I would move that amendment at this time. I urge you to vote yes.
Representative Gilmore, are you on the amendment or are you going to talk on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I believe I'm on the amendment. I have a question on the amendment, and it deals with compensation in the same form as the state legislators. I hope this is still germane, but I find some of these bills, it's all over the board. How these boards and commissions are paid. Some are paid as state employees, some are paid as legislators, some, you know, there seems to be no cohesion or anything in how these boards are paid. And I don't mean to particularly pick on this bill, but sometime we do need to get this all straightened up and have some uniformity. Thank you.
You've heard the motion of the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Questions haven't been called. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The standing committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Hageman's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report and do so with the recommendation that House Bill 39 be passed, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 39 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 91. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 91, introduced by the Appropriations Committee and Act relating to mental health and substance abuse programs.
Chairman Philip. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee authorizes to report and do so with the recommendation that no longer
91 passed. Bill number 191 did pass. There was a standing committee amendment, and I would turn it over to Representative from Park County to explain the bill and the standing committee amendment.
Representative Simpson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 91, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriations. As I said in introduction, we created the Select Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse last year, and the committee worked during the interim. It was a legislative committee with senators and representatives on it, and we met numerous times, I think, for a total of about 9 days. Looking at the delivery of mental health and substance abuse services in Wyoming and a large variety of issues that relate to that. The best way to explain the bill to you is for you to look at the handout that I gave you that says House Bill 91, Mental Health Continuum of Care. It was handed out in the last half an hour. And rather than explaining the standing committee amendment to you in detail, let me go through with you the concepts in the bill. It begins with mental health, and that's why you see that heading on the first page about halfway into the handout. You'll see another cover page for substance abuse. There are 14 sections in the bill. And the first one, let me start with the bill first. Wyoming State Hospital Facility Stay, page 1, 2, and 3, is $173,660 for a study of the physical infrastructure at the Wyoming State Hospital to determine the extent of need to be remodeled, repaired, or replaced. And it indicates what that report should look like and what should be included in that report. It also mandates that the state hospital shall specifically establish a strategic plan to be coordinated with the mental health division, defining its mission and treatment of mentally ill persons in the state. And that plan shall include a description of those things listed on page 3, beginning at line 13. Scope of acute adult psychiatric care, forensic examinations, inpatient and outpatient services. Now, that is that element of the bill. And the handout will help you tie these different sections together. Section 2 is an advocacy liaison position at the Wyoming State Hospital for $150,000. And this is a position that would be contracted through the Attorney General's office for a position at the state hospital to liaison with protection and advocacy PNA for mentally ill individuals. And you can see what that is. I'm not going to belabor that, but that is $150,000. Section 3 gets into the meat of the bill. At the beginning of the meat of the bill, there's a lot of meat in this bill. Community service enhancements, and there are three parts to Section 3. The first one, and it's really community enhancements. It is a 10% cost of living adjustment for all service elements within the mental health division and our community mental health centers. A 10% cost of living for the base rate, clinical, quality of life, supported independent, and CARF maintenance. And that element of the bill is about $3.1 million for that 10% cost of living adjustment. Subsection B on page 7 is clinical service enhancements. Those are enhancements of mental health clinical services within each county and within each region, and it is a fair and equitable distribution of funds. Subsection C, emergency clinical response. This is to allow a more equal and responsive emergency response across Wyoming. The ideal is that an emergency response to a mental health event would be no longer than 15 minutes for telephone response, 1 hour within a community, and 2 hours within a county. And that is subsections, or section three. Section four is the Medicaid waiver, page 8 of the bill. Because it's not unusual in Wyoming for children who need mental health services and for their parents to have to relinquish their legal custody to the state of Wyoming. Medicaid waivers allow delivery of services that can obtain the Medicaid match. This service would be 250 slots for those children. Their custody would not have to be relinquished by their parents, and they could obtain mental health services if they met the eligibility requirements that begin on at the bottom of page 8 and go through page line 16 on page 9. And then subsection B is the 250 children. This section was cut in half by the Standing Committee Amendment in terms of dollars. It's $2.193 million of general fund. And then there's a greater federal fund match that goes along with that. Subsection 5 is bereavement counseling. This would be counseling that would be allowed for family members of deceased emergency responders who died in the performance of their duties. The Standing Committee Amendment cuts that into $25,000 one-time funding that would remain in that account. And it really allows for family members to obtain their own counseling in those times of grief. Section 6, regional pilot projects. This allows for two requests for proposals or RFPs for acute psychiatric services in two regions of the state. The Mental Health Division has defined the state into five regions. And these acute psychiatric services, and the RFPs would be delivered in the underserved areas in two regions. They're pilot projects to allow for the provision of psychiatric services with another appropriate allied health care providers. The whole intent of this bill is to provide mental health and substance abuse services to at the most local and basic level, which is in our communities, in a manner that attempts to achieve some equality in that regard. True equality and the ideal of being able to obtain equal services around the state would be extremely expensive. This particular section allows us to truly determine on a cost-based level what it might cost to deliver these services because it requires a request for proposal and a competitive bidding. Subsection 7, or involuntary commitment transportation. This would be another two-person transportation team for the Wyoming State Hospital to transport involuntary commitment patients to the state hospital in Evanston, and that remains at $230,000. Mental health, section 8, mental health consumer services. This remains at $500,000 to allow the division to contract with providers of consumer information and referral services within the state. It is amazing, it was amazing to me during the testimony before the select committee, how helpful these consumer services are to people who are looking for services for their loved ones. These services are typically provided by people who have loved ones who are consumers and have gone through it themselves and were faced with the prospect of no one out there to help them figure out how to achieve good service for their child or their parent or their loved one. And you can see that these funds can't be used for lobbying purposes, so that ought to make you feel good. Section 9, mental health statewide system improvements. This is the concept of local care and equality of care in Wyoming for mental health. Section A on page 17, $1,960,000 to implement these statewide mental health system improvements. And that is broken down into two different funding streams, one of $1.75 million to enhance the availability of psychiatric services, and this is page 17, line 10, within the respective regions designated by the division. Now, this, the Standing Committee Amendment tied these services to those two regional pilot projects. So instead of having this, every region is going to get this service, we've identified two areas that are underserved in Wyoming. They will be identified through the RFP process and the division for those acute psychiatric services. Along with that will be the enhancement of the psychiatric services within the regions. And that can be through a psychiatrist, an advanced nurse practitioner, or others, some of them, nurse with a specialty in psychiatric care or physician's assistance. $210,000 of that is for recruitment of those providers. And page 18, subsection 3, at the top, was deleted from the bill by the Standing Committee Amendment, which was the early intervention training and referral programs. We're addressing that in many other areas through other legislation, whether it's DD preschools or even the child care initiative that's out there. Section 10, mental health outcomes development data infrastructure, $948,000 to develop and enhance the outcome development and data infrastructure system. Where we're moving with regard to the delivery of mental health and substance abuse services is to a performance-based funding stream rather than just a subsidized stream. And to do that, we need to understand what services people receive. And that's across a broad continuum. That could be mental health, substance abuse, medical care, Medicaid provision, community medical services, and those types of things. So the intent is to truly understand when we provide service to someone, what is it? Does it improve their life? How do we know that? And that is by tracking the units of service they might receive from mental health. What's the intensity of service? Do they have a job? And those types of things. And this gives the mental health division 7 full-time equivalent employees, but those are shared with the substance abuse division. To enhance this database, it's the Wyoming Client Information Service. WCIS. This is a major initiative in the Department of Health in these two divisions that they're working hard on. And there are some federal dollars available that help do this, a minor amount. And we really need to improve our abilities here, especially since we had some problems with the contractor who was working on the WCIS upgrades. And that process has been brought in-house. So we have data software engineers now who are working on this thing, data entry people, program managers, and it's a very favorable thing, and will help us greatly. Those costs are itemized through the rest of Section 10, and those were not changed by the Standing Committee Amendment. Section 11, Mental Health Crisis Stabilization. Again, back to the concept of local service and equality. On a statewide level, that's where this original appropriation amount came from, to develop or enhance mental health crisis stabilization in each of the regions. Now it's those two regions designated for which the department enters into contracts to implement the pilot projects. So we've gone from this broad statewide concept again, back down to the two regional pilot projects for the acute psychiatric care. It includes the recruitment of psychiatrists, and it also includes the mental health crisis stabilization in those underserved areas of two regions. and takes us to Section 12, which begins substance abuse funding. And I'm sorry, Section 11, the appropriation was reduced to $2.4 million from the 6.2. So it was really two-thirds of that original appropriation. The substance abuse has particular elements to it. The first one under subsection A on page 21 is the methamphetamine initiative, and that's A1. The total appropriation for section 12 is about $18 million. That's been cut down from $34 million. The methamphetamine initiative money, if you recall last year, House Bill 308, we appropriated $3 million. $2 million of that went for treatment, and $1 million for prevention. And you can see in the handout under the Substance Abuse Division, substance abuse funding, that's itemized as this entire appropriation of $18,932,562. In the meth initiative, it's $4 million. We have that in half in the Standing Committee Amendment. And the intent was to continue that initiative funding authorized by the legislature. We authorized $3 million for 9 months. The $8 million was arrived at by annualizing that figure. What we're trying to do is require the division to understand better what is happening with House Bill 308, the Methamphetamine Initiative, TANF funding, a lot of different ways in which they provide substance abuse services. But we're preserving those services that are then identified under the substance abuse portion beginning on pages 2 and 3. You can see what's happening in your own counties and your own districts. But the $4 million will do that. $3 million of that will be for prevention. Subsection A2 is the this is essentially a it's a little difficult to understand by looking at the bill exactly what that is, but you can see that in this substance abuse funding spreadsheet, the different elements of that. State-funded centers. This is an increase in reimbursement by 15% for residential and outpatient services, a cost of living adjustment for those services, and it replaces TANF funding for residential treatment programs for women. What we actually did on that one, we used TANF dollars to create 46 beds for women and women with children, and then the TANF funding went away. We need to continue those beds, and that's this does that. And of that $6.9 million, $4 million of that, I believe it's $6.9 million, is the TANF replacement. The social detox, Fremont County, and I believe Crook County may have a couple beds, but Fremont County has very successful social detox beds. Where someone is having a substance abuse problem, they can go to these detox beds, detox themselves, and go back into the community, receive the treatment they need without ending up in the state hospital or the local community hospital at huge expense. This funding for this program was larger and was cut back to half to $2.23 million to provide 20 beds in different regions. 24 beds statewide to provide social detox services. It's a start, ladies and gentlemen, and it helps us with that continuum of care in our own communities. Subsection B of Section 12 on page 22 of the bill was originally an appropriation of tobacco settlement dollars. Subsection B was for $7.5 million. That is now a total of $4.7 million. The elements of that are two things. Tobacco cessation, here for $3.5 million, and $1.2 million for drug courts. And you can see greater detail on that in the handout as well. Tobacco cessation, we have the Wyoming
tobacco quit line. That is a statewide program you can call in, you can get online, and that is funded in our continuing biennial budget. This allows county programs for tobacco quit line. Why is it no longer tobacco settlement dollars? That's because we've encumbered all of those dollars, essentially. And if we want to provide these services, we need to do it with general fund dollars. It really just becomes a game of shifting between general fund and tobacco settlement with a variety of these things. Drug court, maintain the drug courts. And you can see a listing of the drug courts here. The Joint Appropriations Committee, in our work, cut this money of $1.2 million from the drug courts. You can see which drug courts in the last page of the handout are operating. And it became clear that we actually needed to add that money back in to ensure that we were at least funding the drug courts that we already have online. This doesn't address additional drug courts that might come online in the next biennium, and you may see an amendment on the floor on that. So those are the two elements there of tobacco cessation and drug court. Section 13 of the bill, page 23, psychiatric residency rotations planning. And if you look at the standing committee amendment, you'll see that this has been totally changed because we don't need to study it. We need to implement it because it is ready to be implemented. And that begins on the standing committee amendment, page 4, line 34. No, excuse me. That's on page 5. Let me go back to the standing committee amendment for a second on page 4, line 34. This is an amendment that attempts to address the issues that were identified in the management audit of the Substance Abuse Division. It requires the Department of Health to designate a deputy director to do these particular things that were identified there. Lead the state-level planning and coordination between the Department of Health Substance Abuse Division and the Governor's Advisory Board on Substance Abuse. Be responsible for planning and coordination of cross-agency efforts to address substance abuse issues and make recommendations on cross-agency funding decisions. Coordinate among agencies and boards to develop a single comprehensive plan to address substance abuse and its attendant social problems. That's a pretty important sentence right there. That was identified in the management audit. Who is leading the charge? Who is making the decisions? Is it the division? Is it the governor's council on substance abuse and violent crime? This attempts to clearly delineate the responsibilities for that. And then reporting to the Appropriations Committee in September of 6. Subsections D, E, and F then of the Standing Committee Amendment on page 5 are some important provisions too, because it requires the division, the Substance Abuse Division, and you will see a second reading amendment to clarify the same thing for mental health. But it requires the Substance Abuse Division to structure its contracts with community substance abuse centers to ensure necessary client data is reported uniformly. The contract should specify what services will be provided under the contract and outcome measures achieved to allow the division to determine compliance with contract provisions, the services provided, the outcomes achieved, and to determine the extent of statewide needs based on regional reports received. And then subsection E. The division shall implement an outcomes development and data infrastructure system for purposes of data research, analysis, performance measurement, quality improvement of services provided by the centers under contract with the division. We're getting a handle on the contracting. This will help greatly to have this in statute. Back to where I was before I got off onto that amendment. Psychiatric residency rotations. We're not studying it, we're actually implementing this, and at $168,000, that appropriation actually increased. And it's to enter into an agreement with the University of Washington Medical School, under which physician residents are being trained in psychiatric residency, is operated by the
POW will perform a psychiatric residency rotation within the state of Wyoming. Then section 14 of the bill, the last section of the bill, would be to continue the Select Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse, and with an appropriation of $75,000. The good senator from KC, who is the Senate co-chairman of this committee, is a great advocate for mental health and substance abuse issues in Wyoming. He's provided leadership on the committee and really has given us great direction. During the interim, there were many times when I was thinking to myself, how are we ever going to get a handle on these issues? What you see before you in the Standing Committee Amendment in the bill is a pretty focused effort at increasing cost of living rate increases, performance measurement, outcomes development and measurement, and provision of improving those basic provision of services in what you know as your mental health and community and substance abuse centers in your communities. Then the regional projects will allow us to see how can we expand our ability to provide better services to people. I don't know if any of you have ever had much contact with involuntary commitment patients in Wyoming or people who are suffering from acute psychiatric or acute substance abuse events. But it can be pretty ugly. And when you go to your county jail and see people who are sitting in the holding cell, it's a concrete hole with a hole in the ground. And their medication bag is sitting on the jailer's desk. And you know that this person just didn't have the ability to get medication management or take their medication or buy their medication. And they end up in the state hospital or somewhere like that. Or they end up in our community hospitals at the cost of $3,000 a day, and our counties pay those costs. We can achieve a much better continuum of care for people locally to try and intervene in some of these acute events that they're suffering from. And this does exactly that. And it may help us recruit psychiatrists too, and advanced nurse practitioners who can actually do medication management for people. It took 2 days to present this bill and work this bill in the House Appropriations Committee. So you should consider yourselves lucky. I'm happy to answer any questions. I hope I've presented it to you in a form that you can understand. I do believe this handout really helps, and it can show you how the different sections of the bill tie together with other sections. What is the regional approach? What is the clinical service enhancement? And those types of things. So thank you very much. Stand for any questions.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question has been called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Would you like me to explain the bill, Mr. Chairman?
No, I think you did a fine job the first time. Question has been called. All those in favor of Representative Phillips' motion. When the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 91 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 91 has passed the committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee of the whole rise report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The motion carries.
Mr. Reading Clerk, could you read the Committee of the Whole report? Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had a consideration bills on gender file, being leave to report as follows. House Bill 24, amended and further amended and further amended,
Representatives Wanitzer announced a conflict of interest on House Bill 24, recommended new pass. House Bill 60, recommended new pass. House Bill 112, amended, recommended new pass. House Bill 39, amended, recommended new pass. House Bill 91, amended, recommended new pass. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
You've heard the motion. What is your pleasure? Representative Buchanan.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Committee of the Whole report is adopted. Congratulations, Representative Buchanan. Committee reports, Mr. Reading Clerk.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary Dugan, was referred to House Bill 140. Respectfully report, sent back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments: Hayes, Bagby, Buchanan, Landon, Lebno, Golson, Robinson, Watt, White, Noah, Olvin, Senator, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two on appropriations to whom was referred House Bill 55, pursuant to House Rule 8-5, is considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows. Do pass. Eisberger, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Peterson, Philp, Simpson, Warren, signed Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two on appropriations to whom was referred House Bill 56, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Eisberger, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Peterson, Philp, Simpson, Warren, signed Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two on appropriations to whom is referred House Bill 76, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Eisberger, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Peterson, Philp, Simpson, Warren, signed Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two on appropriations to whom is referred House Bill 123. Pursuant to House Rule 8-5, as considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows. Do pass. Eyes, Berger, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Peterson, Philp, Simpson, Warren, signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two on appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 124, pursuant to House Rule 8-5, as considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows. Do pass. Eisberger, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Peterson, Philp, Simpson, Warren, signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two on appropriations to whom was referred House Bill 155, pursuant to House Rule 8-5, is considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows. Do pass. Eisberger, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Peterson, Philp, Simpson, Warren, signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two on appropriations to whom was referred House Bill 170, pursuant to House Rule 8-5, is considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows. Do pass. Eisberger, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Philp, Simpson, Warren, Noah, Peterson, signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two on appropriations to whom was referred House Bill 189, pursuant to House Rule 8-5, is considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows. Eisberger, Jones, Peterson, Philp, Simpson, No, Jorgensen, Miley, Warren, signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill number 22, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Eyes, Anderson, Bugles, Gay, Gilmore, Marshman, Astrid, Miller, Patterson, Walsh, signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 181, pursuant to House Rule 8-5, has considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows. Do pass. Eisberger, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Peterson, Philp, Simpson, Warren, signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals and Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 77. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Eyes, Brechtel, Escobel, Hammonds, Harvey, Inkley, Lockhart, Mercer, Warburg, Samuelson, signed Representative Samuelson, Acting Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 94. Respectfully report presented back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Escobel, Hammonds, Harvey, Hinckley, Lockhart, Mercer, Korbach, Samuelson. Signed, Representative Samuelson, Acting Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 104, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Escobel, Hammonds, Harvey, Hinckley, Mercer, Korbach, Samuelson. No, Lockhart. Signed, Representative Korbach, Acting Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 125, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Escobel, Hammonds, Harvey, Hinckley, Mercer, Korbach, excused, Lockhart, Samuelson, signed, Representative Korbach, Acting Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Are there any re-referrals?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Samuelson.
Mr. Speaker, I move in. We refer House Bill 104 to the Committee Number 2 Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 104 is referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriations. Representative Anderson.
Thank you. I request that House Bill 22 be referred to Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 22 is referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriations. Any other re-referrals? Representative Bowles.
Mr. Speaker, privilege on the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know it's been a long day. There are plenty of receptions going on. This evening, the Northern Rebel Business Council is sponsoring a reception from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Hitching Post. Good for me. You're all invited to come by and speak to representatives of tribal government. We'll be having legislation come this way from the Senate side, and you'll get a good opportunity to visit with them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Goggles. Committee announcements, Representative Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation Highways Bill Trade Fairs will meet in 16 minutes in the 817 committee room, and we will discuss Senate Bill 29, Driver's Education Course Certification.
Thank you, Chairman Edwards. Chairman Bell.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2 Appropriations will be upon adjournment to this continued discussion of House Bill 171, methamphetamine possession. We'll also do House Bill 22, Highways, and House Bill 104, Internship Grants.
Thank you, Chairman Bill. Chairman Samuelson, Acting Chairman Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room 18 to hear one bill, Senate File 42, Public Funds and Investments.
Thank you, Acting Chairman Samuelson. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to consider Senate File 41, Child Support Income Withholding Amendments, Senate File 43, Forensic Evaluations, and Senate File 56, Involuntary Commitments.
Thank you, Chairman Levin. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. 7 a.m. That's a change to consider a natural gas valuation.
Thank you, Chairman Anderson. Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 10, Labor Health and Social Services, will not have a meeting tomorrow.
Thank you, Chairman Osborne. I'm sure they're disappointed. Chairman Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 4, House Education, will meet tomorrow at noon to hear the following bills, House Bill 48, Anti-Harassment. And at that point in time, we'll take the bill back to the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Wasserberger. I'm glad we're going through the process. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your tribal recreation law of cultural resources committee will not be meeting tomorrow, but we will meet on Monday.
Thank you, Chairman Childers. As majority floor leader appears to clear the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. General File for more. Will be House Bill 119.
House Bill 129. House Bill 189. House Bill 138. House Bill 183. House Bill 101. House Bill 181. House Bill 159. House Bill 64. House Bill 140. House Bill 170. House Bill 55. House Bill 123. House Bill 124. House Bill 108. House Bill 125. And other bills that may be reported out of committee before that time. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move a little discussion on the agenda for tomorrow. We are going to come in at 9 o'clock, and we will work until as close to noon as possible. We will take about a 1 hour lunch break to give one committee a chance to do their work during the lunch hour. We will have lunch provided back in the break room between that hour of 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And we will come back together at 1 o'clock and work until as late as we possibly can, 5, 5:30, maybe a little later. Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourned until tomorrow morning, Friday, the 24th of February at 9 a.m. Here's the motion. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed say no. We are adjourned until 9 a.m.